This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, Place to Be Nation, Adam Murray here, one half of the NBA team. Today we are continuing our Gone Fishing, part three. We're going to be in the Eastern Conference. We've got a little mix of lottery, a little mix of playoff teams. So we're going to start with Philly, head to Miami, back to Boston, shoot over to Washington, and we're going to end up with Milwaukee. Enjoy the show.
Copley missed the three, hit five of those, and that overtime win. The lob to Embiid, compliments of Ben Simmons, a beautiful thing to watch.
Body language, eye contact, Ben and Joel acknowledge each other in a nice finish from half court.
Bounce, 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 season over. How does that feel if you're the Philadelphia 76ers?
They went all in. They cashed in the process. They traded for Jimmy Butler, who didn't seem like a fit at all the times. They traded for Tobias Harris, and the problem is both those guys are going to get paid. But with teams galore having cap space, Philly hopefully has sort of done their due diligence of knowing that they might leave. And
that they can get Butler back or get Harris back is what you mean.
They need them back because they gutted their entire team for those two guys, essentially.
Let's just get to the generalities of the Sixers. They, like you mentioned, absolutely gutted their bench and their depth in order to load up on their starting lineup. They already had in play Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, two all-stars, future superstars, just absolute studs. And then J.J. Redick, who they were able to sign to another deal for a little bit less money this time. Then with some trades involving, you know, they had to unload Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Landry Shamet, and a couple of other guys. They brought in Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. They also gave up a bunch of draft picks in the process.
Let's just sum this up. People who aren't free agents next year are Simmons, Embiid, Jair Smith, who didn't play, Jonah Bolden, and Enes has a player option.
Yeah, and Jonathan Simmons, I believe. Or am I wrong about that?
I don't think so, but he moved the needle. But that's the thing, is you have everybody's a free agent. Your roster is Embiid and Simmons. That's it. You hope you have these two guys back, and it's going to be very costly to keep them, especially.
Let me ask you this: do you think Embiid and Simmons are in that same mold as like Wade Bosch and James were in the early 2010s, where you can just move the other pieces around? You just got to make somebody fit, or do you think someone like a Jimmy Butler is essential? Like, you have to have him.
Well, Jimmy Butler you sort of have to have him because Simmons ain't shooting.
Yeah, it was Butler who tied the game against the Raptors. I mean, he's one of those kinds of players. He'll take the ball and go.
The problem with Jimmy Butler is his age, and if you give him that 5-year deal,
he's 29 years old.
You have a 34-year-old guy who has lots of mileage on him, who likes to pound it out, and it's gonna hurt.
You had a lot of chemistry issues with Philadelphia though throughout the season, specifically with Jimmy Butler, right?
He's had a lot of chemistry issues everywhere he's been.
But he's a great player.
He's a great player, and he's intense, and it's just one of those things that, you know, are you trying to get these guys to grow up too fast? And, you know, like I said, they cashed everything in. However, you ran into a better team and another better team. And you could even say that if they played Boston, Boston could have probably beat them too. Although that would have been close, and who knows.
If they'd have beaten Toronto and those four bounces go their way and they win in overtime, do they beat the Bucks?
No.
You don't think so?
I think they would have been sort of spent from them because there's just no bench.
Okay.
And Milwaukee and Toronto have deep, not deep teams, but their second unit guys came in and performed very well for large stretches of minutes. Nobody in Philly could say that. You had to play Embiid for 40 minutes. You had to play Butler for 45.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just there are a couple small questions that they have in the unrestricted free agency outside of Butler, Harris, and Redick. Now, the cap space, obviously, because of all the room, is definitely there. $47 million only being spent because, like you said, only Embiid, only Simmons, Bolden, Zaire Smith, and Simmons. So they got tons of money to waste. And now J.J. Redick, I can see Redick being gone.
Redick's gone because shooting is a premium, and his three-point shooting is going to be very valuable.
And I think Tobias Harris is going to make more than $18 million. And you know, that, yeah.
It's one of those things you could say. We had this, I believe we had this same question with Brooklyn, mm-hmm. with D'Angelo Russell. Is Tobias Harris a max player?
Boban no. Marjanovic, keep him?
No, why you skip through the question?
Wait, what's the question?
Is Tobias Harris a max player?
He's not.
Will somebody give him a max?
No.
You don't think...
Then again, I'm in the end. We're in an NBA where Kevin Love got a max contract.
You don't think with all these teams that have multiple max deals available that somebody's not going to try to overpay him?
I don't know. Like, you know, I say that, and he almost got to the All-Star game as a Clipper. Am I right? Wasn't he? He was one of the only players of the month or players of the week that actually got traded this year. So. Maybe he is, but I would say no. I don't think he'll get max money. I think he'll get something right below it.
Like 22?
Yeah, like or 20. I could see him getting 80 for 4. Or 4 for 80, however people say it. However the cool kids say it. TJ McConnell, he's gone, right?
He's gone because he made $1 million, so somebody's going to pay him as a backup.
He's going to get overpaid. That is a definitely – you know, we talked about Ryan Arcidiacono, another fellow hardworking backup white point guard. But I do think that it's time for McConnell to cash in kind of the same way Matthew Dellavedova did. Mike Scott actually gave him decent play in the playoffs when they absolutely needed a shot and their starters weren't really getting it done. Can you see Scott coming back?
No, because somebody's going to pay him to round out their bench too.
I think James Ennis is going to get overpaid.
He's going to opt out and
he's opting out of $1.8 million.
The problem is that they're all going to opt out. And, you know what really hurt them is they didn't have Ilyasova and
Bellinelli
this year. They needed that shooting at the end, and they didn't have that shooting from the bench.
Yes, because Ilyasova was so great for the Milwaukee Bucks against the Raptors when they absolutely needed to make a defensive stop.
I just said Philly needed him. But Philly, it was a, you know, they injected steroids into their process, and now it's now officially over, and we're going to have to see if they could sort of compete with they put all their eggs in one basket this year. I got to see if they could just keep them.
If someone put a gun to Elton Brand's head, and you have to release either Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, which one are you keeping?
Keep Embiid 10 times out of 10. Okay. There's already, you know, we can even see it. I don't think Ken Simmons play with Embiid.
Simmons can't shoot the ball. I mean, that's
and that's the problem.
Yeah.
And if you're just going to shoot the ball, what good are you being a 6'10 point guard?
This is the biggest problem I have with Zion. If you can't shoot in today's NBA, you're going to be fairly passive. You know,
yeah, you're gonna be passive.
I mean, you can be super aggressive if you're a great athlete like Giannis Antetokounmpo, but even Antetokounmpo has improved his shot.
Well, yeah, here's the thing: like you're 6'9", so you automatically have to guard big men, and you can't shoot. Rondo, yeah, you're 6'2", so you could guard a point guard and play good defense against a point guard. You're matched up size.
Giannis could play any position. Yeah.
So Simmons needs to learn to shoot fast.
Mm-hmm. And that delivery just doesn't do him any favors. At the end of the day, do you still think by the time we get to like the preview portion of 2019-2020 that the Philadelphia 76ers will still be a championship-level competitor?
If they get Butler and Harris, yes. If they lose one,
I still think they'll be okay.
It depends what Milwaukee loses. It depends what Toronto loses because – a lot of the thing about all four of these top teams is everybody has something, a piece they're going to lose.
But there's potentially. There's one thing the Sixers have, cap space. They can make it work.
Not if they, again, if they re-sign both of them, you're officially capped out.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like Miami in the old days, like you're front-loading. Now you got all of your, you know, it's almost like Washington if you're actually good. You know, Washington had this fake notion like they were good. But they weren't. The Philadelphia 76ers have already proven it. You know what's so crazy about that, though? I say that, and didn't the Wizards go 7 games into the second round of the playoffs?
At one, yes.
Yeah, so but, it's the same exact
again,
thing.
You could say how good is Philly right now? They're just a second-round team.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they are.
But for owners, that's good enough, you know? That means that you're a competitor.
So the process is over. Fans could be happy. This is a team, by all counts, worth watching. It's fun watching Embiid. It's fun watching Simmons. They brought excitement back finally after the doldrums.
I like the urgency that's kicked in now because of that trade, because of the fact that Butler and Harris have expired. Instead of the process and let's wait and see maybe if this works out and if Embiid works out and Simmons works. It's all about now. Like, you've got to get this done. And I actually like that for 76ers. It's a good change of pace.
For the Warriors, Heat need a three to win. 10 seconds left. Wade against Iguodala. 5 seconds left. Waiters back to Dwayne. Shoots. No, he couldn't get it off. Now fires it up. Bank it in. It counts. It counts. The Heat win the game. Dwayne Wade won it for Miami. 126 to 125. It just happened.
Okay, Adam, the Miami Heat, this is we're going to be starting again without Dwayne Wade. I know they already had to go into the post-Dwayne Wade era, and they did okay without him, but now for good because Dwayne Wade is retiring. He was their second-leading scorer. Let's just get that straight out the gate and then go to sort of legacy. Number one, how much will they miss Wade in the short term?
Not very, because he was not a shell of himself, but he wasn't. He wasn't the full.
He was getting more notoriety for swapping jerseys with people who idolized him after games. So, yeah, there's that. What is Dwayne Wade's legacy as a player in general, specifically for the Heat?
The championship.
Yeah, but the guy who got LeBron to go there, or the guy who won the Finals MVP in 06, or just like a terrific athletic combo guard?
Combo guard who took over a game, who could take over a game.
Okay. And I mean, do you have more respect for him with Miami than you had with LeBron in Miami? Because of the fact that he was kind of, you know, Wade County kind of thing. He was the one who sort of like brought everybody to him rather than him going somewhere else.
Yeah. And you know, then he took the money in the end. He always took the last money. Then,
well, he went to Chicago, but that team.
He took the money, and that was just like the Joe Montana in Kansas City. And it was like nobody cared, and he didn't do anything there. And
yeah,
you know, the only place he could be, you know, the Cleveland, he got cut. You know, we'll trade you back because we don't want to cut you. And then, well, that's his home, and you know, he's a very, you know, the number one Heat.
Okay, but we have to move on. And now the Miami Heat went 39-43. The reason why Wade was able to gracefully have his ceremony was the same reason that Dirk Nowitzki did, was because they didn't make the playoffs. They were much closer in the East than Dallas was in the West. I mean, at what point in the season did you feel like, okay, I don't think Miami's going to make the playoffs, or number two, even if they make the playoffs, they'll be gone in a flash?
Oh, well, you just look at the roster. The roster was just built for mediocrity. You know, maxing out an 8 seed, and if you get Kelly Olynyk, James Johnson, and Dion Waiters, what can you expect? What can your ceiling possibly be? Mm-hmm. You gave all the money. You know, we had the conversation a couple of years ago. Okay, you have to give Whiteside money because, well, he's the most dominant player, and he's, you know, the shot blocker extraordinaire. But they decided to go small ball. And you know, they alienated him because they decided to change their style.
Yeah, he's had a couple of tete-a-tete with the Miami Heat organization, which is not Miami Heat s. Usually they kind of, with Pat Riley running the show, they sort of buy into the system and nobody really talks out of turn. But definitely Whiteside had his frustrations.
And you know, Dragic, the other guy, well, I don't know if he's an above-average point guard or he's an elite point guard, but only because of the team he's on.
He's had moments, especially last year, where he looked like an all-star, and then he has moments like this year where he looks like just another point guard.
Yeah, you just could that be just because, well, if you're playing with Waiters, how good can you possibly be? And you know, they never have draft picks. They have their one guy who they don't know what to do with him, with Justice Winslow. Is he a point guard? His best time was being a point forward.
You say that, but they gave him his extension. He's at $13 million a year until 2022.
Well, it's one of those things you have to. You could see that he was developing and he was getting better and he's good on defense. It's like, okay, there's a home for him. And you gave the money to, you know, all those other bums, so
yeah. It's kind of a reminder of the Pistons after, you know, they after the walkout with Chicago back in 1991, like when they were just kind of like slowly eroding their those players that had been stars, and then they kind of had to crash all the way down to get Grant Hill in 1994. I don't, and Miami sort of at that halfway point where they were, you know, Spoelstra is such a good coach. Riley is good at Riley, I think, is still pretty good at putting together a roster where they were able to hold off that mediocrity for as long as they could. And now I think they're sort of in a tunnel, like, or they're sort of in a rabbit hole towards mediocrity. Like, well, no matter what, here's the problem. No matter which hole you run down, because of the fact that they're so bogged down on salary, especially with Ryan Anderson, which we could talk about in a second, that they're going to have no choice but to be bad next year.
Well, that's the thing, is you don't know that, because nobody thought you could put the big three together, period. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought you could get Dragic. Nobody thought you could fit anybody on this roster ever, but somehow Riley always seems to do it. You never thought you could get rid of Tyler Johnson. All of a sudden you bring in Ryan Anderson, and Ryan Anderson lessens his guarantee, so his salary cap number is even less next year than
what
it was supposed to be.
That's what I was going to ask you. If they wanted to do a stretch revision, how much money would be on the table for Miami to stretch him?
He has 1 year left at 18, so it'd be 3 years at six apiece.
Which is not unreasonable. We've seen many like this, like Gilbert Arenas in Orlando and things like that. So it's not impossible.
So with him, you don't know what he could pull off, because we didn't think he could do it before.
Derrick Jones, I got a Jones for the no pun intended for the athletic players. What do you think of Derrick Jones?
An average.
Okay. James Johnson, how do you get out of this? He's got $15 million a year due for two more years, and he's got to
play. How do you get rid of him? How do you get rid of Olynyk? How do you get rid of Waiters?
Well, Olynyk is – I think he provides three-point shooting. James Johnson, all he provides is that rebounding. Once his athleticism started to erode, I felt like as a player he became, like, less than valuable.
Yeah.
Bam Adebayo, is he good enough as a big man to basically take away Hassan Whiteside?
Well, he has to be, because they gave him sort of carte blanche, and I want to say he didn't really make a huge leap last year.
They had the same field goal percentage, Whiteside and Adebayo. It was 57%.
Yeah, but Whiteside just would block everything.
Yeah, he had two blocks, whereas Bam Adebayo didn't even have more than a block per game. He had more steals than he had blocks. So that kind of goes to show what his game is. Whiteside has $27 million on a player option. What does he do? Big question.
He has to take it, because he's not going to get close to that on the open market.
That's the problem. I don't know. I think he could probably get somewhere around 30 for like a desperate team who wants a big man, or like maybe like an Atlanta or somebody like that who's willing to give him the money.
Yeah, but I don't think it'd be 30 over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Lowry
got 100 for three. I mean, it's not impossible.
Well, that's only because of his age.
Yeah. Goran Dragic, $19 million. I don't think he's opting out of that one. I think he's going to stay in.
He's going to stay in, and I think they could flip him for something.
Josh Richardson, he's locked in anyway until 2021. I thought that was sort of a Giannis situation where you sign the deal before he like makes the next level. So I actually kind of like that deal for Miami.
It could be.
You know, 16 points, leading scorer, 4 assists, two three-pointers made, gets to the free throw line. Like, pretty – I mean, just a really good player. I don't know if he's a star. You know, that's the problem about Miami. There are no stars.
Nope, no stars, no – I don't want to say no hope, but
– they're a good defense. I mean, that's the one thing they can hang their head on with Spoelstra. You're always going to play good defense. They were second in points allowed, 6th in efficiency, but offensively they just can't break – the glass ceiling. They're always a bad offense.
So, do you change the coach?
I have a lot of respect for Spoelstra as a coach. I think I think that's a Budenholzer situation where the moment he's on the open market, he'll be unemployed for like a day.
So it's kind of hard. You can't do stuff with the roster. You can't do stuff with the coach. You're just sort of miring in mediocrity.
Yeah, unless Riley really wants to make another turn and they just go ahead and they just find another, like a brand new coach somewhere else.
With Riley, who knows?
Yeah.
Kyrie has a swagger to his game tonight.
Yes, he does. He has his swagger back, period.
Adam, your Boston Celtics. You just give me your eulogy.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's a sore spot, isn't it?
I don't. No, it's one of those things. You look at Kyrie, second team All NBA. He was like highs in all categories.
24.7 assists.
Everything he did, he was on court. It was amazing. It was just he couldn't be a leader, and he still thought he was a leader, and then he just created this toxic energy, and really sort of everybody regressed around him.
So at what point with Kyrie were you starting to get worried? We'll see. I'll talk to you on July 1st, or I mean, obviously, because it was the end, the absolute cratering of a performance that he put on against Milwaukee in the playoffs.
No, it was people already had written him off by then. It was just the like Boston is a city where you have to honor the tradition before you honor yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is greater than the city and the sports and the tradition, especially the Celtics as franchises.
Well, that's what I was about to say. With Brad Stevens last year, you had a team that was hit with a lot of attrition. You know, no Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward breaks his leg. So they had to overachieve to get as far as they did, and they came a win short of getting to the finals. If they get to the finals, maybe things are different for, you know, in terms of outlook for the Celtics. Maybe they would have tried a little harder to, you know, put some pieces in there that would have fit. But you have a team that overachieved, and then you have the team fully loaded, and everybody's picking them to go to the finals. I'm pretty sure you and I did it, and then they fall well short of that, losing to the Bucks.
It was, you know, again, it was just on paper, and then, you know, I had always said the problem is they're a jump shooting team, and if they can't shoot, they're done. And I don't know. Basically, we could take it out of this was Jason Tatum almost regressed. Because he had such a stellar rookie year.
I would love to have a 21-year-old who averages 16 points and 6 assists.
But he had developed bad habits and just didn't take a leap that we had expected him to based upon his first year. Jaylen Brown is starting to get himself, but he was a little slow to develop too. And it became Kyrie Ball, and you had, you know, Marcus Morris was
They relied on him almost too much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he sort of became the go-to guy, and you don't want him shooting threes or anything. And then Marcus Smart, which I was amazed he was first-team all-defense. That was very impressive.
He was first-team all-defense?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
He was first-team all-defense, and then he would just go 0 for 10 shooting. And it's just like, come on. But it makes me start to think that maybe their window was closed when Hayward went down because he was not the player he was, and his contract is just a complete albatross. And that's really all I can say about this team is because we don't know what Trader Danny can do. Trader Danny is much like Pat Riley and then Maury in Houston. We don't, you know, nobody said he could get Kyrie to Boston. Nobody said he could get the Garnett and Ray Allen. So we don't know what crazy trades he can pull off. Mm-hmm. So I'm not doubting anything. I'm not doubting him gets Anthony Davis. I'm not doubting he gets whomever.
Can they do a sign-and-trade with Kyrie Irving? Is that possible?
It was one of those, like, he has to opt out first.
Uh-huh.
And then you sign. It's some weird.
Well, the other part is that because of the fact that he's on a max, he's in a max slot, and they already have Hayward in a max slot, they would need Irving to depart first in order to get to Anthony Davis, which has been the big rumor that Boston has enough pieces to put together to get Anthony Davis. And also the Pelicans might have more incentive to get rid of Anthony Davis now that they're bringing in Zion Williamson. A lot of moving parts.
And that's the thing, is just we don't know what Trader Danny has in mind, so I can't speculate on that. But the defense of the Celtics was, you have to look back, would you rather have done nothing and then sort of just ride with Isaiah Thomas and, you know, his injury?
I would have rather done what they did.
Like, you have to try and fail as opposed to not trying at all. And it's just, who knew that Gordon Hayward would take so much out of this team? Because Rozier was right. Yeah, when he came back, they have to try to force it into Hayward to make him become the player he was. You just can't have him be relegated to, like, garbage minutes.
Speaking of which, Terry Rozier, what's the likelihood he comes back? He's a restricted free agent.
He's a restricted free agent, and if Kyrie goes, I think he tried to burn his bridge, but he's just a young, stupid kid who doesn't learn, oh, I'm a restricted free agent, oh, crap.
This one sounds crazy. Will Al Horford opt out of $30 million?
He could opt out for $30 million because he could get...
It sounds nuts, doesn't it?
But he could get, you know, like... He's,
4 years.
If somebody gives him a 3-year deal...
For, like, $70 million.
I don't think it'll be that much.
Yeah, well, that's what... $70 million. 3 years, $70 million is like 25, 23 or 24.
23, but that third year is dead money.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would have to be a TO. So that, I mean,
that's
then again,
the thing
Holford
is, if
it wouldn't even do it, but you got to opt out first in order to get the offer.
Yeah, and that's sort of because he is the linchpin of the Davis trade. But again, we don't know what they have in store because I don't know what Danny has in store. And just basically, I just have to say hashtag positive energy because too much negativity crept into that team and just ate them up from the inside.
I mean, you talk about the three-point shoot, but they were very good defensively. They just weren't as good defensively as they were last year when they were like an elite defense, especially on the ball when it came to shooting percentage defense. So obviously, they need to improve with rebounding. That's always been a problem with them. They got to find a way to get to the free throw line. You had Kyrie Irving, and you were 28th in the league in free throws made. That's unacceptable.
Hey, you know something?
What's that?
After a two-year hiatus, Dadcast is back.
Dadcast?
JT and Don talk about a variety of annoyances, including potty training, lying, Nickelodeon shows, and more.
Why are we not on the Dadcast? We almost had our Sixers preview hijacked by a shaking baby rattle. So why can't we do it? Why can't we get invited to the Dadcast? Maybe we should do our own Dadcast. It'll be a dad blast. It'll be just us bitching about being dads for like 15 minutes.
Well, that'll be the Talking Dead.
Talking Dead
after show.
Is Chris Hardwick still banned for his?
No, he came back.
Fold, but yeah, but no, we need to get on the Dadcast. We need to make a petition.
Talkin' Pop is back, and Tim and Jenny are joined by Stephen Kelly of Songs with Friends for a very special double date and lots of interesting conversation.
Do they talk about pop culture?
I mean, it's better to talk about boring conversation.
What, are you saying double dates are boring? Or is that a double date?
Andy Atherton welcomes Jennifer Smith into the Laughing Theater to watch and talk about the iconic Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber is fantastic. Dumb and Dumber 2 is not fantastic. It's the opposite of fantastic.
Agreed. The hard-traveling fanboys deliver an installment of the countdown looking at the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
I don't know which one that is.
Comic books. You know, on the wrestling feed, the AEW pay-per-view, by all accounts, was a super success. Everybody was happy with it.
I saw Double or Nothing. It was a very good show. It felt like a real wrestling show, not a WWE ripoff show. I'll just put it that way.
So check that out. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a 1997 recap in somewhere, some episode. Mm-hmm. There's stuff on the Place to Be Nation feeds for everybody.
There's always stuff with Scott and Justin and just all of them crew. Greetings from Allentown, I think, is another one that always is up there. So always check out the pop feed and the wrestling feed and always keep tuned in. And then also, I mean, we've got so much content here on our end between Adam and I. We are working hard, making sure that we get as many of these team previews out as possible. So please don't leave us behind. Don't cry for us, Argentina. Is Argentina still good? Or are they pretty much done?
In soccer.
Not soccer, dummy. Basketball.
No, they're pretty much done.
Yeah, I mean, poor Manu. I don't even know who is the best player. I mean, who was in that great generation? Was it – it was Prigioni. Or no,
Prigioni, Luis Scola, Epe Sanchez.
Andres Nocioni. And then obviously Ginobili. And then there was one more that I'm forgetting about that was in that mold. I think you said Scola already.
But I said Pepe Sanchez.
That team was like legit. Even in 08 when they lost in the semis, that team was legit. They were tough to beat.
Yeah, they were sort of a surprise.
If you maxed out Spain's players and maxed out Argentina's players, like if you could do like Time Machine, like which one would you pick?
Spain.
Spain still because of the depth.
Spain just had depth. Another team that had sort of depth that you forget about is France.
Australia was good, but Australia was like a great defensive team because when Bogut was young, people forget how good. I know people watch him in the finals now, dragging ass, but like Bogut was so good when he was young.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, because it's international rules, you can different
block
players,
swat the ball out of the rim and stuff like that.
Exactly. That's why every Eastern European team would just roll out seven foot guys. Just, I mean,
even the Australian team in 2016 with Matthew Dellavedova and Ingles, and they were kind of a problem.
Well, they got, you know, Dante Exum and Ben Simmons is there, so They're still.
I want to see Canada make it. Like I'm always holding out to hope that maybe Steve Nash and and whoever Roy Rogers or whoever they got now, that they could put something together. But it just never seems to come to fruition for Canada. I don't know where they're at FIBA Americas now.
You have Tristan Thompson, who should work in a international format. You got Cousin Jamal, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Tristan Thompson.
I already mentioned him. You got kids coming up. So their programs.
Lindell Wigginton.
They're on the up and up.
But yeah, that's listen to the Place to Be Nation podcast.
Wizards need a three to tie. Wall had it. Now he'll take the shot. Give it up to Beal. Beal's three-pointer. Good! Bradley Beal ties it. A selfless play by John Wall. He could have taken the three, but he realized his better shooting teammate was right there and open, and Bradley Beal knocks down another one.
Adam, at what point did you just give up completely about the Washington Wizards? Was it when John Wall went down or when John Wall hurt himself again after he went down?
When John Wall got injured at home and was out for the year,
he tore his Achilles tendon. Is that correct?
Yeah,
that's the same injury that DeMarcus Cousins had when he's with the Pelicans. Just to give the listeners a sense of context, John Wall's going to be out for 12 months. He's not going to be back until, at best, the midway point of the 2019-2020 season.
If he comes back next year, right when year one of Supermax kicks in, and you already had. You traded for Dwight Howard, and on paper it was like, oh man, you got Wall, you got Howard, who's still productive.
He
Bradley Beal,
nine games, 12 points, 9 rebounds, but it was a very, very small deal. It was like $5 million, $6 million.
Yeah, it was, but they still had him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe they could pull something off, and then just became a bigger dumpster fire, and then a bigger dumpster fire, and then, well, we have Otto Porter. Well, yeah, you gave him $100 million. Why? Oh, shit, we need to get rid of him.
And they traded him to Chicago for Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis.
You would trade away...
Kelly Oubre.
Trade away Oubre. I don't know why. You get Rivers.
They got Trevor Ariza. What you thought
about
that?
You get Ariza in a buy now mode. Like, well, we still need it. We can still make the playoffs. Like, we still believed in ourselves. You trade Gortat, just leaving it for Howard, mm-hmm. and nobody, no backup.
Yep.
Thomas Bryant. Well, he overachieved. Well, he, by default, he was starting and getting a ton of minutes.
Yeah, Bryant's one where they might lose him just because another team might just offer a lot more than you would expect. Kind of like Seth Curry in Portland kind of situation.
And they had Sadoransky, who, was by all accounts.
He got a couple triple doubles late in the season. I know that triple doubles are like the creme de la creme in the NBA. Everybody gets them now. But Sadoransky did show a little bit of his of some moxie after Wall went down with his injury, because obviously he had to play more of the point guard spot.
Yep, and then you just had really just dysfunction after dysfunction after dysfunction. And there's nothing like...
The one bright spot was that Bradley Beal had a career year. He had 50-point games. I think he had one stretch where he had a 50-pointer, and then he had a 45-point game right after that. 25 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, just an absolute stud scoring the ball. You kind of wonder if that had some symmetry with the fact that Wall was out and Wall was having issues with Scotty Brooks as the coach, and they had one very public spat. You wonder if maybe Beal being an alpha male for that situation when Wall went down had kind of gives you the idea that maybe Beal and Wall are not on the same page.
He pulled the Captain Phillips.
Kind of I'm the captain.
This is my team now.
I'll tell you who did that. Carmelo did that to Amari Stoudemire when Stoudemire got injured. When Stoudemire went down, Melo took over the team.
I think that you're right with that. They did that too. But if we're saying it's a must re-sign to keep Thomas Bryant and Tomas Satoransky. Mm-hmm. That's not a good outlook.
But
for
they're
you.
Restricted, so there's a possibility of keeping them. They might be able to match those. They're at $112 million in their cap, which sounds bad because that's right at the tax. But remember, Jabari Parker is a $20 million team option. The likelihood of him getting picked up, although he's still fairly valuable at 23 years old, a really young age at 15 points and 7 rebounds, I still would think that they're going to decline that. Would you agree?
Agreed.
Okay. Portis, I don't know. I think he'll be gone.
Agreed.
Okay. Where do you think at what point on an offer sheet where'd you kind of like tap out on Portis, Bryant, and Satoransky?
I don't know how much Satoransky and Bryant will make. I would assume
I think
they'll
Bryant can make $8 million a year.
I was going to put them both in sort of the 7 to 8 million range.
Mm-hmm. I think Bobby Portis might get more than that because of the fact that he averaged like 8.5 rebounds a game.
Portis might be the Marcus Smart 12 million.
Yeah, 15. I was going to say I went a little higher than you. But remember, they were going to be in this situation if they kept Kelly Oubre. You sort of questioned that. Well, one of the reasons you had so many RFAs that, like, what were you going to do with Oubre? You know, now you got that pocket there. Now that Oubre's out of the picture, you don't have to match his deal. And Trevor Ariza had a 1-year contract, so you can kind of bring back you could get your team back to normal when it comes to cap space because they were so bogged down with Wall, Beal, and Porter. And now they've freed themselves up just a little bit, but not by much.
Not by much, and I just hashtag gridlock. Like, they just can't really – they can't do anything, but they need to do a ton.
Can they buy out Ian Mahimi?
He's just an albatross of albatrosses.
He's just 15. I don't know if it's partially guaranteed. A lot of these seem to be partially guaranteed on
– Nope, his, I believe, is fully guaranteed.
So that would be 5 years for $5 million a year for 3 years if you did it.
It's doable, but
mm-hmm. –
Teams need to hit salary floors, so you might be able to dump his expiring deal to somebody.
What did you think of Troy Brown Jr.? He had a few bright spots at the small forward spot.
Eh.
Okay. Jeff Green, he still has the hammer dunk. I always talk about that with Jeff Green. He's always – every year I see a highlight with Jeff Green just throws down a nasty, nasty right-handed dunk.
And that's – he is who he is.
He averaged 12 points, 4 rebounds. I could actually see him just re-signing with Washington. Scotty Brooks already survived this early portion. Do you think but Ernie Grunfeld did not. Do you think that Brooks can survive the early portion of 2019-2020 if the team sort of goes sideways again?
I think he could because the roster is – yeah, it was the coach or the GM. They chose the coach, so you have to give him a little leeway.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, everybody was injured on this team, so – it was a tale of, like, two teams that kept, okay, we're getting rid of Porter.
I will say this. They were better last year, like, late in the season than I expected them to be. I could still see this team competing for a playoff spot, even if Wall is injured.
That's the thing. You see Beal, you're like, well, they could do it, but
mm-hmm.
Dysfunction is...
It just depends on what they do with that new pocket that they have in their cap when they... let Parker go, and with Ariza gone, that's going to be the most interesting part. But they also are in wait and see mode because of the fact that they have so much restricted free agency on their books.
Yep, it'll be a very interesting offseason to see how they reshape that roster.
For sure, for them, for sure.
And doing it at both ends, leads the NBA in steals. Here's Curry with a high bounce pass.
He had to pause it in and say, okay, boy, I'm waiting for you. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Adam, the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a team. You know what? Shout out to Steve Willie, my Place to Be Nation bud, who giant Milwaukee Bucks fan. I almost have to take some credit for their demise. I was all aboard on the Bucks when they just gave it to the Raptors in the first two games of their series, and then they lost the next four. Obviously, one series does not make a season, but you know, it is the Eastern Conference Finals, and because of the fact that you got eliminated in that series, a lot of people will define you for that series. So how did you feel about the Bucks in the regular season, and did you feel differently when they were gone?
Well, you will see a lot of similarities with this and the other playoff teams. It just comes down to experience. They didn't have any Budenholzer, didn't, you know, the regular season is the regular season. It's a lot
of
pouncing.
They were a 60-win team in the regular season.
It's a lot of pouncing on bad. Don't forget how many bad teams there are in the league. It gets a lot different when you have to face good teams back to the same, you know, seven games in a row. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they got as far as they could. We Giannis, good, you know, MVP and MIP again. He just continues to defiantly get better.
I think he's the MVP.
Yeah. Milwaukee went all in. They traded for Mirotić. They got Brook Lopez for nothing. And yeah. They just continue to get better. And then, you know, Brogdon and Middleton and Bledsoe played. You know, Bledsoe last year was just anemic. This year he played to within himself. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, you know, just it was night and day between Jason Kidd.
And then they brought in George Hill. They were so good, they didn't even have to really play Tony Snell.
And Snell just was like, oh, that's a bad signing. And yeah. He just disappeared out of nowhere. The problem with them is just now that there's, you know, they have, they're against the luxury tax, so they have a lot of questions to answer.
So it really just comes down to the new ownership. How committed are you in terms of spending and going into, dipping into the tax to keep the team intact? If you know that team is good enough to be as good as they were this last season, like Chris Middleton has got $13 million on a player option. He is opting out of that because he will make far more than that on the open market. He was an all-star. So that goes up at least at least $10 million more. So now you're in the tax and you're not even counting Brook Lopez and Nikola Mirotić who are going to be out the door. I know a lot of, overreactors will say, well, Mirotić barely played in the Raptor series, so you don't need him. Well, Mirotić was really good for them against Boston. So I don't know if that's necessarily a knee-jerk reaction, but you want to look into your options.
And Brogdon is also...
Brogdon's really good, but he's like... Brogdon's weird. Isn't he restricted?
No, because he was a second-round pick, so...
So what do you... Yeah,
he has that limited... That limited, you know, arenas provision. You can only go to so much to whatever his cap hold is.
I can definitely see Brogdon getting one of those Tyler Johnson back end deals. You know, I can definitely see that. And that's one where it's potentially dangerous down the road. But for a team that got a new arena, got a great team for the regular season, and you know Giannis is on the rise as a super duper star in the NBA, you might want to take that chance.
Well, here's the thing: I don't think they could keep Brogdon and Middleton.
I agree with that.
George Hill is only guaranteed for $1 million, so they're getting $18 million off the books from him.
Yeah, they're going to cut him. I think he's gone.
So let's say Middleton gets that $18 million. Where else are they going to have money for Lopez and everybody else?
The only way you could do that is if you can trade Tony Snell. And now you're looking at a team that's pretty much front-loaded with Antetokounmpo, Middleton, Bledsoe, and Brogdon. And then you just got to have to make the others work with lesser pieces than what you had. They were very lucky to have what they had. You know,
DiVincenzo got injured, but Pat Connaughton stepped up big time. DJ Wilson, you want to sort of like, but then he just fell out.
Did you mention Sterling Brown yet?
Sterling Brown was there.
Well, they like him. So, and Pat Connaughton, you mentioned. Dante DiVincenzo is a guy that they could see a little bit more of. You know, but they had to give up on certain people that you know, Jason Kidd in the previous regime liked, like Thon Maker and John Henson and, you know, Christian Wood and Matthew Dellavedova.
All those guys who were just mediocre and just disappeared. Like, this team has an identity now. It's just you're coming up to a roster crunch, and how much is this ownership going to bend? And, you know, I don't want to say it, but I got to go hashtag vultures.
Okay.
Because people are just like, well, Giannis is going to opt out and he's going to go to L.A. and he's going to go somewhere else, even though he's given no indication of anything. It's just, you know, like they're already like the witches are already starting to put the potion in the water. Like same thing with Anthony Davis was, hey, he has 3 years left on his deal. You should
because that's how it starts. You have to kick in early with the bad vibes. Because that's the only way that you could try to sink your teeth into him later if you create bad will. That's a really pessimistic way of looking at it. But it's such a good story.
But that's the same thing of, you know, the Knicks didn't win the lottery. Therefore, well, Zion's going to want to go back to college. Why would he want to play in New Orleans? Why wouldn't you want to play in New York?
No comment. But when you look on paper at Milwaukee, that was the best team in the NBA. Would you agree?
Agreed. That was a very good
Warriors.
That was a very good story, and much like Denver, they were just a team of inexperience who should even be more dangerous next year if they could keep this roster together.
Can they re-sign Pau Gasol? And even if so, is it worth it?
No, his corpse is pretty much done.
I mean, he played three games and then he got a foot injury, so we'll see with that. They don't have to worry too much about Connaughton. They got Ersan Ilyasova in the bag. Like you said, it really comes down to what they do with Brogdon, Milton, Lopez, and Mirotić. I think Mirotić is out the door, and I think George Hill is out the door too. So it's really going to come down to whether or not they can keep Brogdon and Milton. And if they can do it at the same time, how far into the tax are they willing to go? That's the big question.
That's just what I said. At least we agree.
Yes.
But a good story nonetheless. Great.
A really good team just ran into another equally good team in Toronto.
And that happens. Toronto had that many years in a row with Cleveland. There's nothing wrong if you're still trending upwards.
Did anything scare you about the fact that Antetokounmpo may have gotten outplayed by Kawhi Leonard in the conference finals?
No, because Kawhi is older and smarter. Mm-hmm. It's experience over talent.
You want to know how old Giannis is? It's going to blow you away.
25.
He's 25 years old.
That's why you're still trending upwards. It's a good story, and let's just hope it still trends upwards.
Yeah, there's a lot of time left to go. Giannis is one of those guys, to finish up, that he will be well worth his supermax when his first max is up. That's how good he is.
Well, that's the thing with supermaxes, is the problem is a lot of the players who are getting it are too old, and it'll be year four will be early toxic, let alone year five.
And that's why they're trying to tie him up to the supermax as early as possible, like the Blazers are with Damian Lillard. Like, they want to get that supermax started so that it doesn't punish you later, like Chris Paul's will with Houston.
Exactly.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop.